Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Bob Rice, we don't. It's the alternative answer. Bob, welcome to the program. Benjamin Graham. The essence of investment management is the management of risks, not the management of return. And you brilliantly write in your note, we're there now with bonds. All of a sudden, the coupon return is disappeared. We're managing for total return, and some would say total loss. When does the panic set in bonds with yield up, price down?
I think we're starting to get there. You know, we finally had most of the ETFs and funds go negative for the year in total return, which of course is just a sight that no one has seen in decades almost, and no one can remember. So all of the value that's been created in these individual portfolios over the last decade, 80% of the value, the total return from bonds has been in price improvement. That obviously has a chance to significantly unwind. It might happen quickly.
I want to say that again, Michael. That's so incredibly important. And this goes back to Ibbotson and how we do equities, where we think about higher price and dividends. Dividends make up 40-some percent, 47% of return. What Bob just said is all the good feeling about bonds. 20% was from the coupon,
yep,
and 80% was from the bond going from 92 to 94, whatever.
Exactly. And yeah, of course, it just makes intuitive sense, right? What have they actually been paying in terms of coupons? Almost nothing for quite a long time, eh? So where's all that gain coming from? From price appreciation. And the duration risk in these bonds right now is just enormous.
What does that mean?
It means that they're super price sensitive, that as soon as rates
because
pick
up, they hold longer maturities, they're price volatile.
Definitely the things that are longer duration have even greater price sensitivity. But at these particular rates, when rates are this low, even medium-term instruments have a great deal of volatility in their pricing if rates tick up. And that's what you're starting to see right now. People, this is going to be brought home to roost very, very quickly if this trend continues.
Well, here's my question. You mentioned, you know, all these funds, their total returns turn negative. Why didn't the managers anticipate this? It's not a secret.
Right. And ironically, a lot of these bond funds did anticipate it. And that's why so many of them have been turning to high dividend stocks, despite the charter and despite the name. Morningstar has something like 360, quote, bond funds, close quote, which now have significant investments in equities, simply because they have seen this train coming.
Right.
But what are they supposed to do?
Let's
and
go.
I
over.
Guess if you have an ETF, there's nothing you can do.
And even mutual funds, what are you going to do?
Yeah, but if you're in the long duration, long maturity ETF, you've gotten hammered. The 30-year bond, folks, from the roughly peak of early May, is down in price 8.9%. Now, Bill Gross is one example. Down 2 or 3%. That's mostly because he's not holding 10-year or 8-year or 30-year paper. He has a much shorter duration, right?
Precisely, yes.
Is that true of most of the industry?
Well, it really does depend on the specific characteristics of the fund. Most of these things, yes, I would say are out in the 5 to 6 year range right now. They've been playing the so-called roll-down strategy for a long time.
Is that game over?
That game is, yes, that game is probably over right now.
Because it's going the other each month you go farther the other way.
It's a roll up strategy.
You get rolled up.
Yeah, that's right, and that's not fun. So I think it's an interesting timing because people obviously have to find some way of producing income in their portfolios. Obviously, this risk, which has been out there for so long that people have kind of forgotten about it, finally is indeed starting to come home to roost. So the question is, where are you going to go instead?
And the answer is, I feel like, you know, this Academy Awards and I'm opening the envelope.
Well, there are 8 different strategies described in the book, but the alternative industry has been focused on this for a long time. And there are one of the most obvious things to do right now is to go into a long, short credit fund. There are some very good ones out there right now. These are mutual funds, normal type of mutual fund fees. You're not paying a hedge fund manager 2 and 20 or anything like that. And these work in the same way that equity long short funds work, where you go long one instrument, you short another instrument, and so long as the one you favor does relatively better than the one you've shorted, you'll make money in any environment.
By credit fund, does that assume short duration, short maturity?
Most of them will. Actually, what a lot of these guys like to do in these long short credit funds is trade off duration. So right. They'll sell the longer duration and buy the shorter duration for exactly the reason you would surmise, because that trade will make money in a rising rate environment.
Let me cut to the chase, folks, because we like to do that here at Bloomberg Surveillance. Very quickly, Bob, and we'll come back. How many basis points do I pick up in return by doing a complex strategy like that versus just buying a three-year fund?
Well, this year so far, one of the big BlackRock funds that does this is up a little, just over 2% for the year, while gross is down 2%.
So they've outdone by 300, 400 basis points.
Yep.
I want to know when the party's over for hedge funds. You know, this manager, that manager makes the headlines, underperformance, everybody, you know, screams and shouts, forget about it. There's a broad sogginess or underperformance that doesn't justify a 2% annual fee. They get 20% of my gain over a hurdle rate. A, do the fees adjust or is the party over?
The party for 2 and 20 is it's dying quickly. You know, there are going to be a few top-tier managers who really, like Meryl Streep, can demand any price for a movie she wants, and she gets it, and some managers will get that. But yeah, there are something like 9,000, just imagine that, 9,000 hedge funds out there right now trying to charge 2 and 20. And of course, it's not Lake Wobegon, and so of course, they're not all above average. And so, of course, that's just too much, especially in this kind of rate environment when 2% is suddenly a heroic fixed income yield. I mean, in the old days, 2% wasn't all that much. Now it is. And so what's happening is two things. One is you're having a rise of these mutual funds that are running these strategies, and maybe they're not the absolute best managers in the world, but the strategies themselves provide so much benefit that a pretty good manager at a very low fee is a great way of making your portfolios more robust. That's one. Number two, you're starting to see some major allocators, to your point, saying the state of New Jersey kind of famously has said, look, you know what? We're just not going to invest in hedge funds at all unless you adjust your fee structure, unless you give me the same kinds of terms that some of the private equity firms are now giving them, where it's, you know, the management fee is more like 80 bips or 100 bips, and it's 8% hurdle rate compounded. Now, you want to make money on top of that and take some of it? Okay, I can talk to you.
8% in 2013?
It's what Tim Walsh from New Jersey has managed to get from a very well-known hedge private equity fund. Yeah, pretty impressive.
Now, I could ask you what average hedge fund managers produce, but you would tell me that's an absurd concept.
Yeah, this is a point I really would like people to understand. It was just so fundamentally important. You know, so many of these funds are doing radically different things. Some people are doing merger arbitrage. Some people are doing activist investing. Some people are doing distressed credit. An awful lot of these funds are doing equity long short. And by the way, that's, I think, a particular place where 2 and 20 model is in huge trouble because the underlying securities are totally liquid. Lots of people can do that strategy. And I think that the mutual funds that run those kinds of strategies are going to have a particularly good run here, and the hedge fund managers are going to have a particularly bad run. But that's really the point, is that there are different tools for different purposes in the hedge fund world. And so when you see things like these broad-based hedge fund indexes combine all of the performance statistics into a single number, it's a little bit like reporting a single score for the Yankees, Mets, and Rangers one night. It doesn't mean anything to talk about the hedge fund industry that way.
Can I suggest that the key alternative answer, not that it isn't in vogue right now, is everybody has an aunt or uncle that bought Rice Amalgamated Steel 45 years ago, never sold it, and it's worth, you know, maybe it's not the best stock, but it's worth a lot of money. Is the ultimate alternative answer just buy some equities and never sell them?
Well, I think that that's a radically better way of looking at the market than dodging in and out every 10 seconds. That's for sure. I just wouldn't say it's a complete answer, because stocks and bonds still are only a minor percentage, or some significant percentage, but less than half of all the investable opportunities in the world. And if you believe, as I do, that the economic global cross currents are so extreme that we cannot predict the future, you want to diversify into as broad a segment of opportunities as you possibly can. It's not just stocks and bonds. So real assets are incredibly important. Private infrastructure is important. There are But it does depend on what job you're trying to have done in the portfolio.
There's a glossary in the back of the alternative answer, Michael McKee, that is worth the price of gold. I like pre and post money. This is the money you have on the weekend before the children descend.
that describes you to a T. Hey, Bob, very, very quickly here, one of your perhaps most important pieces of advice is that people still have too much cash. They're not invested enough.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. We're still reeling from the last crisis, of course, and everybody likes liquidity, and that's what everybody wants. They want returns, they want security, they want liquidity. Great.
Doesn't define what you do with Deirdre Bolt instead of with us.
All right. Well, now we've broken the barrier.
Yeah,
here.
No, I'm in. I'm in.
Well, they don't see Deirdre's outside our studios likes, here pacing back and forth.
The fact that
why is he in there?
O'clock.
Why is he in there? Bob Rice is out with the alternative answer.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.